The Montshire Museum in Norwich is about to receive a pretty remarkable donation, a cast of the bones of Homo naledi, an early humanoid and perhaps a direct ancestor of us. Paleoanthropologist Jerry DeSilva was one of the scientists who researched this species after specimens were discovered in a cave in South Africa in 2013. You may remember that the cave was so hard to access that a team of six small women experienced in both caving and science had to be found to go in and assess the discovery. Professor DeSilva joined the faculty at Dartmouth College this summer, and he joins us now to talk about the significance of this find and why the Montshire is the beneficiary of this unusually generous archaeological sharing. Jerry DeSilva, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you for having me.
Remind us a little bit how the bones of Homo naledi were found in 2013 in this cave in South Africa.
Sure. Professor Lee Berger, who's a South African paleoanthropologist, had been exploring an area in South Africa known as the Cradle of Humankind for new caves, new places where early humans were, where their remains were deposited. And he made an incredible discovery in 2008 of a cave called Malapa, where he found skeletons of a new species known as Australopithecus sediba. And he then sent out an advertisement out to other cavers and spelunkers to look for bones, and if they happen to come across bones, to let him know. And two very skinny cavers got down into a chamber of a cave system known as Rising Star, and they stumbled across bones. And they contacted him and said, you know, we found some bones, but we don't know what these things are. And he then put together very quickly a team of, as you said, these six women who had excavation experience, archaeological experience. They knew their anatomy. They had caving experience, and they could squeeze through gaps in the rock that were as narrow as 8 inches to get down into this chamber. And they excavated close to 1,600 fossils of what we now consider a new species of early human that we call Homo naledi.
Was it clear immediately that these bones, these fossils, were significant?
Yes. There were photographs that were taken of the bones, and you could tell from the photographs, you could tell from the teeth and the jaw of one of the individuals that this was not a recent person. The teeth of ancient humans got bigger as you move toward the back of the mouth. The wisdom tooth was actually the largest tooth. And in humans today, the wisdom tooth is very often the smallest of our molar teeth. And you could tell right away from the photograph that we had an ancient human and had lots of bones of these things.
Your specialty is in locomotion, how hominid
right.
species get around. So what did you notice when you were asked to look at these bones?
Yeah. I was fascinated by these things because we're used to seeing all sorts of combinations of anatomies in these ancient creatures. There were all sorts of different experiments going on in over the course of human evolution. And in these creatures in particular, I was looking at the feet and the legs, and they were so human-like. They were so human-like that I wouldn't say I feared, but I thought perhaps we had something that was much more recent, much more human-like, until I saw the skulls. And the skulls were of things that had brains only slightly larger than a modern ape's brain. So it was this wonderful combination of an animal that could move around like us on feet and legs that were so much like yours and mine, but their brains were still quite small.
So talk a little bit more about that, Jerry, because this idea that small brains but bipedal is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at human evolution, sort of take a big step back and think about human evolution, we know certain things. We know that humans are most closely related to African apes, and in particular to chimpanzees. But we didn't come from chimpanzees any more than they came from us. Instead, we share a common ancestor with them. And that common ancestor, we suspect from the DNA, lived in Africa sometime between 7 and 10 million years ago. And there are many ways to get from an ancestor that's like that into a human. You could have brains evolving first. You could have bipedalism evolving first. The only way to really know how it happened is to study the fossils. And what the fossils have revealed for us over and over again is that bipedalism, upright walking, is one of the first major changes that happens over the course of human evolution, and that brains come much later. Now, with this new discovery, it is the most obvious example of bipedalism preceding brain enlargement that I've ever seen. where you have feet and legs that are almost exactly like yours and mine. There are subtle differences, and we're interested in those subtle differences, but they are subtle. In an animal whose brain, again, is the size of a grapefruit, it's only about a third of the size of a modern human brain today. And the great thing is that we have lots of individuals. We have the remains of 15 different individuals. And so it's not as though we're basing this on a single discovery. There are lots of these creatures, and it's helping us really understand the biology of what they were like.
It sounds like it's not clear yet whether this species, and there's also debate, I should say, about whether or not it is a new species that's been found, but it's not clear yet whether there's a direct line between modern humans and Homo naledi, right?
Right. That's really tough to do. In the absence of genetic data, in the absence of DNA, it's very difficult to figure out who's related to whom. You can sort of think about if you had a bunch of people standing in front of you and you had to decide who is related to you, you would use shared characteristics. You'd use similarities in what individuals may look like, but you might actually get things wrong. You might get some of those relationships wrong. And in the absence of DNA, we do our best to figure out who's related to whom. But one of the things that we keep realizing is when we draw these family trees and say, well, this one must be related to that one based on these shared similar characteristics, we then find new fossils of new species that allow us to redraw our family trees, and we're constantly doing that, which is fun. I mean, in science, you're always excited by new discoveries and the opportunity to revisit some of these old ideas, like who is related to whom.
Boy, it's just too bad they didn't have Facebook. Then it would have all been clear.
That's right, or wallets in their back pocket.
Right. So, Jerry DeSilva, Lee Berger, the paleontologist who you mentioned, whose team discovered these bones, is donating a cast of the specimens to the Montshire Museum. Why?
So, Lee and his entire team, we are really passionate about disseminating this information to everyone. This is our story. This is the human story. This is where we came from. And it makes no sense to make these incredible discoveries and then hide the fossils and then not allow the world to have access to them, not only the scientific community, but the entire community, the entire world, because these really belong to everyone. These, whether they're ancestors or extinct relatives, these things are part of our history. And there's no better place to communicate that than in a science museum, a place where people go to be inspired by questions, big questions like who we are and where we came from. And so Lee is coming to the Dartmouth campus to give a talk on Monday, the 16th. And then the next day, on the 17th, he's going to the Montshire to donate casts of some of these fossils. Now, for those listeners who can be a part of that, it's happening at 3 o'clock, and certainly folks are welcome. Those who can't be a part of that can go to a website called morphosource.org, and we have uploaded to that website almost 100 fossils of the best fossils that we found from Homo naledi, and anyone can download them and print them out with a 3D printer and have copies of their own Homo naledi fossils. We really want this discovery to be shared by everyone.
We will link to that website you mentioned at vpr.net for people who didn't catch it. But Jerry, this is unusual for a research group to share this widely and this publicly and in a sort of an open source and free way, the fossils?
Yeah, I mean, certainly you can go to a science museum and see lots of replicas of fossils of early humans. That certainly happens. Oftentimes it takes decades, and it can take even generations for fossils to be shared as widely as we're doing with these after only 2 years of study. And one of the reasons we've been able to do that is instead of having a small team of researchers working on these fossils, we've had a team of about 60 people working on these fossils and put in a huge number of hours and have been able to do the scientific, at least preliminary scientific investigation quite quickly and disseminate the information, again, open source. Anyone can go to a journal called eLife and look at what we wrote about these fossils. And the work is going to continue, though. We have many, many, many questions still about these creatures, and there's going to be scientific research going on for decades about who these things are and what they can tell us about about our origins and our evolution.
Jerry De Silva is a paleoanthropologist at Dartmouth College. He's been researching how our human ancestor Homo naledi walked, and he's been telling us about the donation of a cast of this humanoid's bones to the Mottshire Museum in Norwich. We have all the kinds of details you might need about that launching, that big event on the 17th. Go to vpr.net. Jerry De Silva, thank you so much for talking with us. How fascinating.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.